Numbers chapter 21, and this is an interesting story in the Bible. A lot of the stories in the Bible, not only are they true, but there's just a lot of good stuff in the Bible. And you know, I know some people, you know, when they start reading their Bible from Genesis, you know, they start in Genesis chapter 1 and they begin to read. A lot of times they get, you know, bogged down in some of the genealogies and names that they can't pronounce. And listen, I can't pronounce half the names in the Bible proper either, but that's not going to stop me from reading it, because there's just some good stuff in the Bible. We're going to learn about fiery serpents in the Bible this morning. I mean, that's just exciting stuff. You don't get much exciting, more exciting than that. But here in Numbers chapter 21, let's start reading in verse number 4. And we're going to read down through verse number 9. So Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God. That was a big mistake. A big mistake. They had done that before, and it had gotten them in trouble. And against Moses. That was their second mistake. They had done that before, and they had gotten in trouble for that. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Now remember, this is after the people had gotten to the point where God had prepared them to go into the land of Canaan, to take the land, to possess it. And they, because of the report of the 10 spies that they brought back from the land of Canaan, and they said, no, we cannot do this. The giants are too great, are too tall, the cities are too great. We'll never be able to conquer this land for God. We might as well just go back into Egypt. This is after that had taken place, and God had said, you know what, you're gonna wander into the wilderness for 40 years until your generation dies off, and then your children are going to go in and possess the land. So this is after that has all taken place. And the Bible says the people, the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. In verse 5, and the people spake against Moses and against Aaron, or against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now they had complained about this before. They complained about there being no food in the wilderness. They had complained about there being no water in the deserts. And God had provided food for them. God had rained manna down from heaven and had supplied their need. And God had provided water for them and out of the rock in the desert. And now they're complaining again that there's no bread and that there's no water, even though God had provided for them before. Verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Wow. And they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Let's pray to your Lord. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for those who have come this morning to worship you, to hear your word preached, Lord. And we have had a wonderful time so far singing, Lord, praises to your name, singing your word. Singing psalms and hymns, Lord, and spiritual songs. Lord, what a blessing it has been to be in your house already. And Lord, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to put a damper on anything, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would continue to move, Lord, and speak through me to the hearts of your people, Lord. And I pray that you bless the message. I pray that you'd help me to preach, Lord, because I know that I cannot preach without your help, without your power upon me. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use me. Fill my mouth, Lord, and my heart with the words that you'd have me to speak. And I pray that these words would go out into the hearts of your people and, Lord, begin to produce fruit and begin to take root, Lord, in their hearts and in their lives, Lord. And I pray for anybody here, Lord, this morning who is not saved, who does not know Christ as their Savior. I pray for that person or persons, Lord, to, Lord, be convicted this morning and that Your Holy Spirit might draw them, and that they may see, Lord, Your love for them and Your care for them and Your desire to have a relationship with them and to save them from an eternity in hell, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that You would bless the message this morning. Open our eyes to these truths, Lord, and these things that are written in Your Word for our benefit, for our exhortation. In Your name we pray and ask these things. Amen. Here in Numbers 21, the children of Israel spake against God. They spake against the Lord, and they spoke also against Moses, the man of God. And that caused the Lord. Now, the Lord does get angry. I mean, God gets angry at sin. And He got angry here, and He sent fiery serpents among the people, the Bible says, to punish them. Now, these fiery serpents bit the people. They attacked the people. Now, I'm not sure exactly what these fiery serpents were. I looked up that word fiery in the dictionary, and that word basically meant mad. I mean, just vicious. And so that may have been the case, that I believe it was. I believe that these serpents were vicious and ferocious, and they went after the people. It also could mean that these serpents had some kind of a special scales or something that made them look fiery to the people. I don't know. But these fiery serpents nonetheless bit the people. They attacked the people. And the Bible says in verse 6, much people of the children of Israel died. People were dying. People were dead already. And in verse 7, the people went to Moses and they said, "We have sinned." They did. They were right. They had sinned. And that was their first step in getting things right and getting things straightened out, because they had been bitten. They were dying. People had died already. They went to Moses and said, "Moses, we have sinned." They were right in doing that. And they said, "We have spoken against the Lord." They confessed their sin. And they said, "We have spoken against thee, Moses." And they said, "Pray unto the Lord and that He take away the serpents from us." The people said, "Moses, we messed up big time." Again, like I said, this wasn't the first time. They said, "Moses, we messed up big time. We're in trouble. We need help. We have been bitten by these fiery serpents, and people have died already. People are dying, and we're going to die too if you don't do something quick." Now, they should have went to the Lord. I don't think they should have went to Moses. I don't know why they went to Moses. Maybe they felt like their sin had separated them from God and that they couldn't go to God themselves. But nevertheless, they went to Moses and they asked Moses to pray for them. And, you know, Moses, he was just a man. I mean, he couldn't do anything for the people. All he could do was pray. And he did pray. And the Bible says there in verse number 7 that Moses prayed for the people. And then in verse 8, God told Moses what to do. God told Moses to make a fiery serpent of brass, to set it on a pole, and every dying person who had been bitten by these fiery serpents, every one of them that looked upon that serpent of brass on the pole would live. The Bible says in verse 9, "And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now, I want to point several things out to you in this passage of Scripture this morning, and it won't take me long. I won't be long in preaching this morning, but the first thing I want you to notice about what happened here in this text this morning is the poison of the serpents. I want you to think about the poison of the serpents this morning. The Bible says these fiery serpents bit the people, and much people died. Now, I'm no expert on snakes. I don't want to be. I don't like snakes. I'm scared of snakes, and I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't like snakes at all. And I don't know if any of you have ever had any experiences with snakes, but I've never been bitten by a snake because I've just never put myself in that kind of a position. I know, you know, some of these snake handlers and stuff. What's that guy on TV? The crazy man from Australia. You know, he picks snakes up and looks in there. You know, that's the one. That's the one. That guy's crazy. He's nuts. But that's what he does. And you know, I mean, he's gotten bitten. I mean, he's been bitten more than once, I'm sure. But I stay away from them. I don't mess with them. I know some people like to keep snakes as pets. Does anybody have a pet snake here this morning? All right, okay, then you're not going to be offended at any of this. But I know some people keep snakes as pets. I've been in homes where, you know, they've gotten these, you know, big boa constrictor things that could strangle you and you know, swallow a horse. And I don't mess with that. I don't fool with that. And you know, even in some churches, they'll even, you know, get snakes out and handle them during their services, and they'll let these snakes, you know, crawl and slither around underneath the pews and stuff, and they'll pick them up and do all that kind of stuff to them. And you know, that's fine. Hey, it's a free country. You can do that if you want to, but you know, I'm not going to do that. I don't want anything to do with snakes or serpents or reptiles of any kind that can bite me. I heard about a Baptist preacher who was invited to preach at one of these snake handling churches. Of course, he accepted the invitation not knowing that they were a snake handling church. And he got there and he was getting ready to preach. And just before he got up to preach, some of the men brought in this box. And he didn't know what that box meant or whatever. He thought, boy, this, maybe they're taking up a collection for me. I don't know. The box was huge. He was excited at first, but then he you know, they took off the lid and he saw something moving around in there. And he heard a rattle, you know, like the rattlesnakes do, and he got concerned. He was like me. He didn't like snakes. And he turned to the preacher and he said, what's in that box? He said, oh, those are snakes. And when he said that, the people began to take these snakes out of the box and began to dance around the church with them. And that was all the this preacher could take. And he said, listen, I got to go. Where's your back door? I'm leaving. I cannot stay here. And the pastor of the church said, well, we don't have a back door. And the preacher said, well, you just show me where you want one, because I'm not sticking around. I'm going. And I've never been in a situation like that before. I've not had a lot of experience with snakes. And I'm glad. I've lived up here in Alaska most of my life. And thank God there's no snakes up here. There's nothing that slithers that I know about. And I'm glad for that. But I know not all snakes are poisonous. You know, I understand that. But I believe that these fiery serpents were. And when they bit the people who had been bitten by these snakes, the Bible says they were dying. And they needed help. And they needed help fast. And they needed some kind of an antidote to counteract the poison that was in their bodies. You know, sin is like a deadly poison. Sin always brings death. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. James chapter 1, verse 15 says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And ever since man was first bitten by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, and the poison of sin first entered into man's bloodstream, all of mankind has been exposed to the deadly poison of sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Every one of us has been bitten by the serpent, so to speak. Every one of us has been poisoned by sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're dying. We need help. And just like the people needed help, they needed an antidote to counteract the poison in their systems. And we need an antidote to counteract the poison that's affected our souls. The poison of the serpents was killing the people. They needed help. They wanted Moses to help them. And they said, Moses, pray for us. And you know what? Moses did pray for them. And I want you to notice, secondly, the prayer of God's servant. The prayer of God's servant. Moses was God's leader. He was a man of God. And when the people came to him for prayer, they had a need. And he could see it. I mean, they had sinned against God. They had been bitten by these fiery serpents. Poison was in their systems and they were dying. And he saw that. And he could have said, no, I'm not going to pray for you. I'm not going to mess with you. Hey, you spoke against me. You spoke against the Lord. And I'm not going to have anything to do with you. You can die. He could have said that, but he didn't do that. The Bible says when they came for him to him for prayer, he prayed for them. He prayed for him. You know, the Bible says Moses was a meek man. He was a meek man of all the men on the earth. And boy, I tell you what, I wish I was more like Moses. I wish I was more like Moses, because even when these people had spoken against him, and this wasn't the first time, this wasn't going to be the last time either. But he loved these people so much and he cared about them so much that he got on his face before God. He hadn't sinned, they had, but he got on his face before God and he besought the Lord to heal the people. The prayer of God's servant. He prayed for them. And what we need in Christianity today is more people with a burden to rescue the perishing and care for the dying. Our towns and villages need more Christians on their knees praying for lost souls. Moses was a burdened man. He was burdened for the people. He was concerned that they were dying. And so he prayed. And you know, God heard his prayer. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 5, verse 16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Say, oh, prayer doesn't make any difference. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we may not see on this earth the many times God has answered our prayers, but we will one day in heaven. And we'll one day in heaven wish that we had spent more time on our knees in prayer than we do. It wasn't the prayer of Moses that saved the people that day. That's not what I'm saying. But God heard his prayer. He had a burden and he got on his knees before God and he besought the Lord to heal the people. And God heard that prayer and God answered that prayer. And then, thirdly, I want you to see God's plan of salvation. God provided a plan of salvation for the people to be healed. In verse 8, God told Moses to make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. See, why did God tell Moses to make a serpent and set it on a pole? What was that all about? I believe the serpent here represents God's curse. See, the Lord placed a curse on the serpent in Genesis chapter 3. If you remember, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, and verses 14 and 15, the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The serpent on the pole here was a picture of the curse that was brought on the world, and on all of creation because of sin, because of the fall of man. A curse that would one day be lifted by the virgin-born Son of God who would bruise Satan's head. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The Lord Jesus Christ was hung on a tree and made a curse for us so that the curse of sin could be lifted up off of us, that the promise of the Spirit, the promise of God's Holy Spirit and the blessing of eternal life could be ours through faith. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. The serpent on the pole is also a figure of Christ's triumph over Satan at Calvary. It's a figure of the victory that was won at the cross by Jesus Christ over Satan. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ did bruise Satan's head. Amen. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 15, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. I don't serve a Savior who cannot win a victory. He won the greatest victory for me that has ever been won on this earth. He won the victory over Satan, over sin. And then he rose victorious over the grave 3 days later. The Bible tells us in verse 9 that Moses made the serpent on a pole. And the Bible tells us that it was made of brass. The Bible says Moses made a serpent of brass. Why was the serpent made of brass? What does that have to do with what's going on here? Why not did Moses make it of gold? I mean, that would have looked nice. Golden serpent. Why not of silver? That would have looked just as nice. Why of brass? Why did Moses make this serpent of brass? Well, brass in the Bible speaks of judgment. And at Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ took the sinner's judgment. The judgment that was meant for the sinner, Jesus Christ took upon Himself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Jesus Christ was innocent. when he went to Calvary, he had done nothing wrong. They accused him, yes, of many things, but they could not prove one of those false accusations against him. He was sinless. He was perfect. He was the spotless Lamb of God. He had done nothing deserving of death. The cross was meant for us. The cross was meant for you and for me. We're the guilty ones. And our sin had to be punished to appease the wrath of Almighty God. And because God so loved you and He so loved me, He allowed His only begotten Son to take our place on the cross of Calvary. Jesus took our punishment. He took our judgment upon Himself. The judgment that we deserve, He took upon Himself to rescue us from hell. On the cross, He paid for your sins and mine. The judgment of God was poured out on Himself, on Him for our sakes. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. God had a plan for saving His people from certain judgment and death. And I'm glad God had a plan for saving sinners like me from the awful penalty of sin. And then I want you to see not only the plan of salvation here in this passage of Scripture, but I want you to see the pole. I want you to notice the pole the brass serpent was set on. What about that pole? In verse 8, God told Moses to set the serpent on a pole. And there was a reason for that. The reason that God had Moses set the serpent on the pole was because more people would be able to see the serpent if the serpent was lifted up. The word pole that's used here signifies to us a banner or an ensign. And just as the brazen serpent was lifted up before the children of Israel in the wilderness, Jesus Christ was lifted up before the world on the cross of Calvary. The cross of Christ is the believer's banner. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15, "And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Again, Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto Me." The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God had Moses put the serpent on the pole because God wanted everyone who had been bitten to have an opportunity to be healed. And God had His only begotten Son nailed to an old rugged cross and lifted up on high at Calvary because He wanted every sinner to have the opportunity to be saved. And if you're here this morning and you're lost and you don't know Christ as your Savior, God is giving you an opportunity today to be saved. And I pray and I plead with you to take that opportunity and trust Christ as your Savior today. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God said in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22, "Look unto Me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. A just God, and a Savior, there is none beside Me." God wants the whole world to know that He alone has the power to heal and to save the sin-sick, dying soul. I want you to notice that God had His servant Moses put the serpent on the pole. God told Moses, "I want you to put that serpent on the pole, and I want you to lift that serpent up so that the people can see." Now, why did God have Moses do that? Moses was God's servant. And you know, the picture of what Moses did here is the picture of what we need to be doing as Christians, as the servants of the Lord, as we serve Jesus Christ. We need to be lifting up Christ to a lost and dying world. It's your job and mine to lift up Christ as a Savior. It's our job to point sinners to Jesus. What an example Moses is in this chapter to us Christians today. First of all, Moses prayed. Amen. He got down on his face and he prayed for the people. That was the first thing he did right. And we need to be praying for lost souls. We need to be praying for our community. We need to be praying for our neighbors and our friends and our co-workers. We need to pray for people to be saved and trust Christ as their Savior. And thank God we've seen answers to prayer. We've seen people get saved who we've prayed for and who have been brought on the prayer chain. We've seen that. And we need to continue to pray for the people. And then he obeyed. He prayed and then he obeyed. Amen. What God told him to do, he did. God said, "Moses, I want you to make a serpent of brass. I want you to set it on a pole. And Moses was faithful to do that. You know, God wants us to be faithful to obey. God wants us to be faithful to obey His Word. And then he conveyed God's message of hope and help and healing to the sinner. He went out there and he held that brass serpent up, just like God had told him to. He conveyed the message. He told the people, listen, if you'll just look on the serpent of brass, you will have life. You will not die. You will have life. And that's what we need to be doing in this community. We need to be lifting up Christ as the Savior. And we need to be telling sinners, hey, look to Jesus and you'll have life. That's what we need today. In our churches and in our towns, in our communities, we need to be praying for sinners. We need to be obeying God's Word. And then we need to be conveying God's message to the world that Jesus saves. So in this chapter, in Numbers, in these few verses, we see the poison of the serpents that the people had been bitten by. And we see their condition was a terrible one and was in need of help and was in need of something to happen. God had to work a miracle for the people to be healed. And then we see the prayer of God's servant Moses on his face before God, pleading for the people who had just spoken against him. And then we see God's wonderful plan of salvation in all of this and how he had Moses make that serpent and put that serpent on a pole and lift that serpent up. And he told Moses, listen, if anybody who's been bitten by one of those fiery serpents will look to that serpent, will look to that sign of healing, they'll be saved. They'll have life. And then we see also that the serpent was lifted up on that pole, and that pole is a representation of Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And then lastly, we see God's promise here to the sinner. God's promise to the sinner. And verse 8, and I like this. The Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. God promised life to every dying person who looked upon that serpent of brass on that day, who was lifted up on that pole that day. All they had to do was look on that brass serpent, and they would live. But if they refused to believe God's promise, if they refused to accept God's plan of salvation, they would die in their sins. And it doesn't say, but I'm sure that there were some who refused to look on the brass serpent. I'm sure there were some that said, no, I'm not going to look up. And they died in their sins. And looking up at the brass serpent, the people were admitting to the fact that they needed healing. And in order for the people to be healed, in order for them to be given life again, they had to first admit that they were dying. They had already admitted to Moses that they had sinned. God wanted them to admit that they had no hope, that they were dying, and that they needed saving. And when they looked up to that brass serpent, they were admitting that fact, that they needed healing. And the first step in a sinner becoming saved and being born again is that sinner owning up to the fact that his sins have separated him from God, and that his sins are his problem, and that he is dying and on his way to hell. In order for the people to be delivered, not only did they have to admit that they were in need of saving, they also had to submit to God's plan of salvation. Anyone who looked on the brass serpent was in reality saying, okay, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I am accepting your plan. I'm doing it your way, Lord. They were saying, I understand that the only hope for deliverance, for life, is the antidote that God had provided for them. That's what they were saying. And the brass serpent Moses lifted up didn't do the people any good unless they were willing to look up and to see it, to look upon it. Those who thought they could heal themselves, those who thought that they could find deliverance some other way, perished. But those who submitted to God's salvation plan, and those who looked on the healing sign for deliverance, like God had told them to do, they lived. They had life. They were given life again. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross does the sinner no good unless that sinner is willing to accept the sacrifice as their only means of salvation. Plus nothing, minus nothing. All religions are not the same, friends. One belief system is not just as good as another. All roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Are you one of the few? Are you one of the few this morning? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now that's pretty narrow. That narrows it down quite a bit. It doesn't get much plainer than that. When we submit to God's Word, when we submit to His way and His plan for us, the result is life. Those who reject God's one and only plan of salvation will die in their sins and be cast into hell. And that is not God's will. That is not God's will for anybody to perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's His will. And God wants every sinner to be saved. Not only were the people required to admit and to submit, they were also required to commit. They were also required to commit. In order to be healed, they had to commit their lives into God's hands. They had to believe that God was able to save them. The people were saved by placing their faith in the Lord. God said, look and live. And those who looked upon the brazen serpent and those who looked up and obeyed God's command and committed their future and their health to Him were saved. And if we believe, if we look upon Jesus by faith, the Bible says we shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The belief I'm talking about this morning is not an intellectual belief. A lot of people say, oh, I believe in God. That doesn't mean anything. The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I'm not talking about an intellectual belief in God or that there is a God. I'm not even talking about believing that Jesus is the Savior. A lot of people say, oh, I believe that Jesus is the Savior. That doesn't make them saved. What happens here in the Bible, when people get saved, they're putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and they're beginning a relationship with Him. I'm not talking about just believing that there is a God. I'm talking about a heart belief. When a sinner realizes that he or she has been bitten by sin and the poison of sin will eventually kill them, when that sinner understands his need for spiritual healing and turns to Jesus for forgiveness, and commits himself entirely to Christ, placing his faith in the blood atonement, that person, that individual, will be saved. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. Not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if a sinner by faith looks up to Jesus, that faith will bring salvation. Jesus Christ becomes our substitute when we believe on Him. He was our representative on the cross. He was punished in our place for our sins. And when we believe on Him personally, He becomes our substitute. When Moses, at God's command, made the serpent of brass and set it on a pole, every Israelite who looked up saw the image of that serpent, of the very serpent that had bitten them. And yet, when they looked at that serpent, as they were told, as God had commanded them to do, they were healed. They were healed. That's God's promise of healing. When a dying sinner looks to Calvary in faith, believing, he sees on the cross the divine Son of God made in our image, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, made to be sin for us, yet without sin. He who did no sin took all our sin upon himself. And the Bible says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's God's promise to the sinner. And what a wonderful promise it is. Let's pray. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Thank you for listening so attentively. In a moment we're going to pray, but if you just bow your heads and close your eyes, let me ask you a question this morning. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Maybe there's somebody here that say, you know, I don't know for sure if I'm a Christian. I don't know for sure if I died today, I go to heaven. I can't say. Well, I'd like to pray for you this morning. And I'd like to take the Word of God to show you how you can be saved. If you have any questions, I'd like to try to answer them as best I can. But if you're here this morning and say, you know what, I'm not saved. I don't know Christ as my Savior. Would you please pray for me? I would like to know more. Is there anybody here like that this morning that would raise their hand and say, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anybody here this morning that's not saved? I see that hand. Anybody else? In a moment, you're going to have an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. We're going to have an invitation, and you're going to have an opportunity to trust Christ as your Savior. And I hope that you'll take up that opportunity. I hope you won't leave here this morning with any questions or any doubts in your mind about who Jesus is and about what He's done for you. How about you, Christian? Are you praying for the souls of men? Are you praying for the people here in this town? Are you obeying God's Word? Are you living the kind of life that would be pleasing to God? Are you obeying His Word? Are you in obedience to Him? Are you conveying the message that Jesus saves to those around you? We need to be doing what Moses did. We need to be what Moses was to the people. We need to be to the people here in this community. We need to pray for them. We need to obey God. They need to see us obeying God and following Him. And they need to see us conveying the message. We need to tell others that Jesus is the only way. Are you doing that? Are you being the kind of servant to God that Moses was? We're going to have a song of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, come. While the music's playing, come and pray. Maybe this would be a good time for you to come and pray for somebody that God's laid upon your heart that you know is not saved. That you know if they died without making that profession of faith that they would spend an eternity in hell. What a sobering thought that is. And we all have loved ones. We all have friends. We all have people we care about who are in that situation. They are not saved. And if they die, the Bible says they die in their sins, they're going to spend an eternity in hell. How much have we prayed for these people? How much time have we spent on our knees before God in prayer, like Moses did, praying for the people? Maybe it's not a friend. Maybe it's an enemy. Maybe it's somebody who has spoken against you that you need to pray for this morning. God spoke to your heart. Come. The altar's open. There's plenty of room. Plenty of room. Amen. Dear Lord God, thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for the things that You have taught us from Your Word this morning. And I thank You, Lord, for those who You have spoken to, who have come forward to pray. And Lord, I pray that You'd bless them, Lord. I pray, God, that You'd speak, Lord, Your words of comfort to them, Lord, in whatever areas in their lives, Lord, that they need Your help in, Lord. And I just thank You so much for the people here, Lord, this morning. And Lord, I pray, God, that You would bless us, Lord, as we, Lord, continue to serve You this day. And Lord, I pray that the fellowship, Lord, around your word this day would be a comfort and an encouragement to each one of us, Lord, and that, Lord, we would give you thanks for all of the good things that you've blessed us and with and you've done for us, Lord, and Lord, providing, Lord, us, Lord, with a plan of salvation, a way to have a right relationship with you, a way to have our sins forgiven and cleansed, and Lord, a way for our fellowship with you to be restored, Lord. Oh, you've been so good to us, Lord. Thank you so much for your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. And may that sacrifice be, Lord, ever before us, God. May the scenes of the cross of Calvary, may the words that we read in your Bible and your word that tell us about what happened at Calvary, Lord, may they be ever before us, God. And may we live our lives, Lord, under the shadows of a bloody cross, that you might receive the glory and honor in all that we say and all that we do. Lord, keep us near the cross. And thank you, Lord, so much for the work that you've done in our hearts and in our lives. We praise you, Lord, and we turn this day over to you. We thank you so much for the good service this morning. In your name we pray, and just bless us, Lord, now as we continue to serve you this day. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for coming.